to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word Power Daily Reading Bible Guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, God's love for you is endless. I want to tell you that this is about you. God is talking about you. God's love for you is endless, faithful, and pure. To Him, you are a priceless treasure. The Lord your God has chosen you, His treasured possession. And you can not only read that in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, but if you go to Ephesians 2, He calls you a masterpiece. Yeah, He does. So, I'm inviting you today to see yourself in God's perspective, not the way the world does, or even some of your loved ones, God bless them, but you are chosen. You are looked upon by God as a masterpiece, mm-hmm. a wonderful, wonderful person who is going to be witnessing and telling the whole truth about God on this earth. You are His messengers on this earth.
Made in the image of God. That's who you are.
That's right. And this is my daughter, Kimberly, and she is here in the studio, and we're so happy to have her. You came yesterday.
Yes.
Yes. And it's so good to have you join us today.
Thank you.
Yes. So you are blessed to dispense, my friend. You can tell this is Monday. You are blessed to dispense, my friend, for God loves you so deeply. And in Him you live and move and have your being.
That ties right in with being made in the image of God and being here to show His glory.
Yes.
And to be recognized, not as an individual recognized, but as His vessel, mm-hmm. that He is seen through us. That's We're true. Blessed so that we can be giving, dispensing, spreading out more and more throughout the earth. That is why we're blessed,
That's
so that
right.
we can make Him known.
Amen. Well, Saturday, we are having a meeting, and that's on Valentine's Day. So if you'd like to come have a love breakfast with me at the restaurant, that would be wonderful. We're going to go to the restaurant at 9:30 on Saturday. That's February the 14th. And have just a wonderful time together. And then we will meet at 11 o'clock at my home, and Kimberly will be with us. And I would like you, if you're going to be at the meeting, and I should say, when you come to the meeting, bring a Valentine's card and put your favorite scripture on the card, and then sign your name so that they know who had given them the scripture. So when they put it on their mirror, on someplace special in their home, they will know who gave them that scripture. And I have several like that, Kimberly, and I know you do too. Mm. Scriptures from people that you just keep close, even in your Bible, so that
right.
you can look at it every once in a while.
Right.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Our memory verse for this week is Amos 5:24, and we know that verse. Yes, we do. Let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. But we think this justice is meant for other people. It's meant for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant for us. I want to read just a little bit from the Message. I love the Message. It's in this contemporary vernacular, and I love it. And here's God. He's talking to his people He loves, and He loves you. But sometimes we do things that are not so
lovable.
Yes. And so we've got to be corrected. And that's okay. We love correction, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He says here in Amos 5, I can't stand your religious meetings. I'm fed up with your conferences and conventions. I want nothing to do with your religious projects, your pretentious slogans and goals. I'm sick of your fundraising schemes, your public relations and image making. I've had all I can take of your noisy ego music. Wow.
You know, yeah, that sounds like such a slap, doesn't it? But it's coming on the heels of recognizing at the very first of Amos chapter 5, the Lord is pointing out through Amos that Israel has fallen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Israel's precious to him. His precious beloved Israel is precious to him. Mm-hmm. And she is now fallen. And he hates that she's fallen. He hates that she's in this fallen place. And so this is what he's saying to her. Well, how did you fall? Why did you fall? Mm-hmm. It's because of all of these meetings and parties and everything festivals that you've done, that you think that you are worshiping me, but you're not in these festivals.
You're worshiping the festival.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. And so he's trying to just get their attention and point out, this is what got you here. That's you need right. to come back in yeah. line with what I created you for.
Yes, mm-hmm. that's right. He goes on to say in Amos 5, when was the last time you sang to me? Do you know what I want? Do you really know what I want? I want justice, oceans of it. I want fairness, rivers of it. That's what I want. That's all I want. Didn't you, dear family of Israel, worship me faithfully for 40 years in the wilderness, bringing the sacrifices and offerings I commanded? How is it that you stoop to dragging gimcrack? Now, I had to look that word up, gimcrack. It's flimsy and poorly made statues. You're dragging those gimcrack statues of your so-called rulers around. They make them out of wood, they hammer it out, and then they worship it. Hauling the cheap images of all your star gods here and there. And boy, they had a lot. You can read that in the New American Standard in Amos 5. They had the Sikkoth god, the Kimyam god. They had brought them from the wilderness. And since you like them so much, I like this. This is my God, because I like to see justice. Oh, forgive me. It's Barbara's soapbox today. Mm-hmm. Since you like them so much, you can take them with you when I drive you into exile beyond Damascus, God says to them. And they did. They went into exile. Do you think they had those with them, the idols, all the idols and the statues with them?
You know, that's really his way of saying, you've been calling out, you've been trying to do things on your own. Mm-hmm. These idols are your way of trying to make life happen for you when you were made for me. That's when they went into exile, they certainly were not praying to those gods, those idols anymore.
Nope.
They ended up turning because they know who delivers.
That's
and that is
right.
That is the human condition. We get into trouble and who do we turn to? We start, even if we don't believe in God, we'll say, if there is a God, will you hear me mm-hmm. right now? And you know, he has so much mercy and compassion. He does.
That's right.
He hears.
Does. Well, last weekend I was so shocked when I found out that the U.S. Department of Justice and Kash Patel, along with Pam Bondi and Justice Jeanine Pirro, had apprehended the terrorist in charge of the September 11th, 2012 destruction of the U.S. Embassy in Benghazi, Libya, killing Ambassador Christopher Stevens, dragging him through the streets naked after mutilating his body. Mm. And in fact, they were so excited. Judge Pirro and Kash Patel stood and waited for that plane to arrive on Andrews so they could see that terrorist come down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
It had been 14 years, yes. And former Navy SEALs stayed and defended the U.S. Embassy and died. Mm-hmm. They radioed for help, but no help came. Can you imagine radioing for help? 911, please help me. And they don't come. Obama was president then. At a hearing afterwards in questioning Secretary Clinton, she replied, "What difference does it make? These words will forever be stamped in my memory bank." And if Hillary Clinton has not confessed and repented before God, he has judgment for her in store. Mm-hmm. I've had the story of bravery, this bravery story, on my website for 12 years, Kimberly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if there would ever be justice for these four men. I was so touched by everything that had happened. You can go to freedomstreet.org and read this story by a cousin, Cynthia Myers, cousin of Sean Smith, who reported on the massacre. in Freedom Corner. I think it's under teaching, and go to Freedom Corner and you can hear or you can see and read Remembering Benghazi. It's worth taking a few minutes to read and then thank God for a Justice Department that continues to look for justice for those who have been forgotten. Here in Cynthia Myers, she was a cousin of Sean Smith, in her words, she says, the embassy in Tripoli began receiving multiple tips about Al-Qaeda cells in the area, planning an attack on 9/11 in response to the killing of bin Laden. See, the U.S. should have been on high alert in the Middle East, even though they asked for security force and were denied six times. Ambassador Stevens and his team were given the all clear that the consulate in Benghazi was safe and there was no need for a security force other than three personal guards, one being my cousin, and a few Libyans who were not armed. On 9/11, there should have been high alarm for 9/11. 9/11, 2012. The murders took place. Immediately, the White House claimed it was a protest over a YouTube video. Do you remember that? Obama made a brief speech in the Rose Garden on September 12th, placing the blame on an ever-heated protest over the video before catching a plane to Las Vegas to campaign. Over the next 2 days, the liberal left media began saying the deaths of these four men were caused by smoke inhalation, a total fabrication. Now, remember, this is Cynthia Myers saying this. Out of respect for my cousin, I'm not going to go into his murder. However, Ambassador Stevens was brutally murdered. His genitals were cut off. He was sodomized, beaten, stabbed, and burned. He was dragged through the streets and thrown into a ditch where a local doctor found him and tried to save his life, having no idea who he was. The other three men, including my cousin, met similar fates. Deaths due to smoke inhalation are a blatant lie. The next week, I drove my aunt and uncle to D.C. to receive my cousin's body. We met with Hillary Clinton, Panetta, and Susan Rice. Remember those names? All who apologized and said it was a protest gone bad over a video and immediately exited the area. Next, Obama entered with the same story and didn't apologize and wasn't at all sympathetic. My aunt cried in front of this man, and all he did was hand her flowers and walk away. Upset, I tried to get his attention and yelled, "You are a liar," and he just kept walking. Then a Secret Service agent grabbed my arm, leading me to a room where I was held until the proceedings were over. America, I saw firsthand how cold this man is, what a liar he is. Most of you haven't a clue about who Barack Obama really is, and yet you support him, and you even act like every word he says is gospel. President Trump has been at every arrival of deceased military around the world. He's been at the arrival on the tarmac and met with the families. What an outstanding president we have, one who sympathizes and empathizes with those who are hurting. But this part you don't know, and you should know. And I want to read what she was saying as an eyewitness of what was going on. And Kimberly, you had an explanation about the embassy. This is really good because I remember Darren and me going to the embassy in Mesa, Arizona, when Israel Houghton was the praise and worship leader
at the embassy church.
I wondered, why is it called the embassy? Yeah, and what do you have to say?
Well, you know what, I actually just want to, so it's you and I working together, and, and I just want to interject just a little bit here and say we're reading this story because it does, it actually does pull on some emotion, you know, when, and
yes,
emotions rise when we're listening to a story like this. And what we want to talk about, what we want to see is how God would govern. Humans have a tendency to get so mad at God. They think he's like Obama. They think that he just walks away. They think that he's cold, that he would allow such broken things to happen in this world. But that is not our God. And God gives ambassadors into this world to to show, to speak, to say, and to reveal His goodness and His kindness.
Yes, you were saying, because I was saying here, that Benghazi was one of the more violent places in Africa.
Right.
And in the whole world.
Right.
And why would they have an embassy in Benghazi?
So
and that's where
I'm answering that question by saying that an embassy is a place where ambassadors and leaders from other countries have their offices and their residences. So an embassy is actually a place that is making a difference in a country that might be locked and stuck in a way of thinking that's doing harm.
Mm-hmm.
So an embassy is a place where leaders from other countries, ambassadors from other countries live and dwell and office so that there can be really a recognition of another way,
that's
a representation in a country that needs to see there's another way to do this.
Yes.
Let's do this differently.
And
so
I
even
believe,
as we're reading this, our emotions might rise up. We might start to feel a little bit of anger. That's why we want justice. But there's another way, and we're going to talk about that. I do want
yes.
you to finish. I
yes.
didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I just want to say that President Trump is willing to go to enemies and confront and confront them, talk with them. They're absolutely ready to have a conference talk, probably over the phone or whatever, with Benjamin Netanyahu and him tomorrow to Iran. So he's wanting to get together even his enemies.
Yeah.
This administration in 2012 did not have an idea of what was going on.
Yeah.
And they really didn't want to have an idea.
Mm.
And here is Cynthia one more time saying, this part you don't know, but should. And I want to reiterate, you can go to freedomstreet.org, click on, I believe it's teachings, and it's Freedom Corner, and read the article about Benghazi, and even download if you want to. So what actually happened at the U.S. Embassy in Libya, Ambassador Stevens and Foreign Service Officer Sean Smith, that's her cousin, along with an administrative staff, were working out temporary quarters due to the fact that in the spring of 2011, during the so-called Arab Spring, and we've all heard of that, the United States cut ties with President Gaddafi. Our embassy was looted, ransacked, and caused to be unusable. It is still in that state of disrepair. A well-organized attack by radical Muslims was planned specifically targeting a temporary U.S. embassy. The Libyan security force that was in place to protect our people deserted their post or joined the attacking force. Either way, our people were in a real fix. And it should be noted that Ambassador Stevens had mentioned on more than one occasion to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton that he was quite concerned for his personal safety and the welfare of his people. It is thought that Ambassador Stevens was on a hit list at that point. A short distance from the American compound, two Americans were sleeping in Libya as independent contractors. They had nothing to do, really, with the government, working an assignment totally unrelated to our embassy. They also happened to be former Navy SEALs. When they heard the noise coming from the attack on our embassy, as you would expect from highly trained warriors, they ran to the fight, like David did to Goliath. They had no weapons, but seeing the Libyan guards dropping their guns in their haste to flee the scene, Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty snatched up several of these discarded weapons and prepared to defend the American compound. Not knowing exactly what was taking place, the two SEALs set up a defensive perimeter, just as they had been trained as Navy SEALs. Unfortunately, Ambassador Stevens was already gravely injured, and Sean Smith was dead. However, due to their quick action and suppressive fire, 20 administrative personnel in the embassy were able to escape to safety. Eventually, these two courageous men were overwhelmed by the sheer numbers brought against them. An enemy force numbering between 100 and 200 attackers, which came in two waves. But the stunning part of this story is that Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty killed 60 of the attacking force before they were killed. Once the compound was overrun, the attackers were incensed to discover that just two men had inflicted so much death and destruction. As it became apparent to these selfless heroes, they were definitely going to lose their lives unless some reinforcements showed up in a hurry. And as we know, that was not to be. I'm fairly certain they knew they were going to die in this gunfight, but not before they took a whole lot of bad guys with them. Thank you, Tyrone and Glenn. To the very last breath, you both lived up to the SEAL code. You served all of us well. You were courageous in the face of certain death. And Tyrone, even though you never got to hold your newborn son, he will grow up knowing the character and quality of his father, a man among men who sacrificed himself defending others. And his son probably is around 13 now, mm-hmm. a teenager, never have seen his dad, but boy, what a legacy. What a legacy he had.
Yes.
So I want to tell you that I wanted to introduce this song by John because we never know what's going to happen, even this afternoon. I don't know what Kimberly and I are up for. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. And you don't know either. You can read all the prophecy you want to and all the word you want to, but you know what? God has kept this as his little surprise. As a secret for the end. So please listen to John as he sings One Day at a Time, Dear Jesus.
I'm only human. I'm just a man. Pushing and shoving is proud in my mind. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking. Today, show me the way, one day at a time.
Oh, I'm so glad you chose that song today. That was
it's so good.
That was fun to hear.
I used to not like that song, Kimberly.
You told me that today for the first time.
I thought it was too hokey. You know?
Oh, wow.
And yeah. Boy, God has really taught me a lot.
Yeah, and he truly leads us one day at a time. We can hear that story about what took place in Benghazi. And like I said before, we can get stirred up. You know, it can cause us to to feel the injustice. We really feel it, and we feel maybe even incensed over the sin. But the stairway we climb, that the lyrics in that song, that stairway we climb, mm-hmm. is looking up. It's looking for God's glory and focusing yes. on His way instead of our own. There was another lyric in that song, the pushing and shoving is crowding oh. my mind. And we've been pushing and shoving and really polarized in this world, yes. in political fields, in our homes, in our families. We've been really polarized by all this pushing and shoving and mm-hmm. wanting our own way. And there is another way. We want to see God's glory. And I want to focus a little bit in on that, the definition of that this week.
Yes.
Because it's not what we think it means. Glory in the dictionary, I was looking it up. And very often is talking about those who have renown or honor, notable achievements. They're mm-hmm. recognized. They mm-hmm. have recognition. It's fame, mm-hmm. glory. Mm-hmm. And we can say that God deserves all that glory because He does.
I'm sure Noah Webster wouldn't have that kind of definition.
Oh, we'll have to look.
Yeah,
we'll have
we will.
To look.
Yes.
But yeah, there's another definition yes. of glory. So yes. tune in more this
tomorrow.
Week.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and remember the meeting on Saturday. If you'd like to watch the movie Benghazi, there on YouTube, there is the 13 hours, the Benghazi story. I would invite you to see that. It's touching. It's thrilling. It's what God has brought people into this world to defend. And I'm so glad those three were defending the embassy that night when Ambassador Stevens was murdered. God bless you and keep you. And we'll see you tomorrow. Take joy.
Listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.